Welcome to the Rich Thoughts Podcast, where our goal is to glorify God and terrify the devil. Get ready. It's going to be a great journey.
Good morning and welcome to Rich Thoughts for Breakfast.
I'm Harold Herring, and that's my fine wife, Beth. On today's call, we're going to talk about seven keys to a winning outlook in adversity. Now, let's look at those seven keys. First, you choose your outlook. Your inward disposition will always determine your outward outlook. That's why you must be grounded in God's Word. You cannot let what's happening around you affect what's happening in you. I'm going to say that again because I need to make sure that it's getting down inside of each of us. You cannot let what's happening around you affect what's happening in you. Regardless of the adversity, no matter how messy or seemingly hopeless the situation may be, your answer lies in your outlook. It's like asking if you're in a recession or depression. If you've lost your job, it's a recession. If I've lost my job, it's a depression. What should your perspective be? What does the Word say about it? Colossians 3:1, Message Bible. He is your life. So if you're serious about living this new resurrection life with Christ, act like it. Wow, act like it. Pursue the things over which Christ presides. Don't shuffle along, eyes to the ground. Absorb what things right in front of you. Look up. Be alert to what is going on around Christ. That's where the action is. See things from His perspective.
Wow.
That's strong.
That is.
When we see things from God's perspective, we endure everything for the joy that's set before us. We may be dealing with adversity or some tough situation, but our outlook, our perspective on everything we're facing should never be subject to or formed by what's happening around us. Our outlook needs to be determined by the greater one who's within us. 1 John 4:4. You're of God, little children, and overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world.
Mm-mm. Second, don't let somebody else's attitude or troubles affect your outlook. You know, back in the day, our circle of friends used to include people who would like to commiserate, people who wanted to hash and rehash any kind of mess they were in. But our circle of friends, you know, and your circle of friends doesn't ever need to include those kind of people, and ours don't anymore. Toxic talk and attitudes are contagious, and not only contagious, they're infectious. You don't need to hang around people who like to criticize, complain, and seek out fellow commiserators, because that will definitely adversely affect your outlook and your future. It's too easy to rehearse hurts, relive frustration or anger. Taking yourself into,
talking yourself into. Yeah.
Okay. And thinking the worst things, that things are worse than they are.
That's good.
It's wasted energy that needs to be put toward making things better. So when you spend your time talking with negative people about negative events, guess what? It's only reasonable that you find yourself becoming more and more negative. The dominant thoughts in our life will draw similar thoughts to them like a magnet. If we dwell on past hurts, failures, broken relationships, financial mistakes, I mean, it just becomes a swirl and you're doomed to repeat them. Isaiah 43:18, Message Bible says, forget about what's happened. Don't keep going over old history. So the point, don't commiserate about what's happened. Put it in the rearview mirror. Instead, plan about what's going to be happening in your life.
That's good, babe. Third, you have to walk through the troubles. Here's a reality. If you've created a mess in your life, here are four things you need to get through with. You need to get through it.
That's right.
First, you must acknowledge that you messed up. If you're alive on planet Earth, you've messed up.
That's it.
For some, it's more of a habit than others. but no one's exempt. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Bottom line, you have sinned and messed up in one time or another. But praise God, you can be forgiven.
That's it.
Second, you need to fess up. You cannot live in denial. There's a good acronym for denial, that word. D is in don't, E even, K no, I, A for am, lying to myself. D-E-K, hallelujah, D-E-K, well, don't even know I am lying to myself. Think about that. Confession is good for the soul. It's more than just an old saying. It's a spiritual truth, a scriptural directive when you're walking with God. Still a way to get clean. 1 John 1:9. We confess our sins. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Third, you need to get up. If you've been forgiven, you're just that, forgiven. So it's time to get up, leave the past behind. There's nothing wrong with being down and out and wrong as long as we want to get up and right and in.
That's it.
We're getting up. And getting up, it's critically important that we keep our thoughts focused on Him.
Fourth, you need to move on. Exodus 14:15, Living Bible. Then the Lord said to Moses, quit praying. Get the people moving. Forward march.
Fourth, sometimes you have to step over the mess. There are going to be times in life when we need to just let something and on occasion someone go. We need to move beyond the mess that we may have created or that we've been dealing with. This can be a rough process. It really can. If you care for someone who doesn't care for you or someone you care about has deeply hurt you. But the truth of the matter is this. You cannot control what other people do, but you can definitely control what you do. Our trust has to be in the Lord and His Word. Psalm 119:133, New Living Translation says, guide my steps by your word, so I will not be overcome by evil. That's a great prayer.
Yes, it is.
We all would need to use one or more times in our lives. We just need to keep focused on the Lord and then watch our step. Proverbs 4:23 says in the Message Bible, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust.
Well,
great advice.
It is. Fifth, you have to give yourself a spiritual pep talk. Did you ever attend a pep rally in high school or college, where the sole purpose of the cheerleaders or pep squad was to motivate your team spirit? The number one purpose of a pep rally is to get you involved, even though you'll be sitting in the bleachers during the big game. In this big event, you're not sitting in the bleachers or standing on the sidelines. No. My friend, you are the game. You need to be your most important cheerleader or pep squad team member.
That's right.
In the game of life, there will be times when there's no one around you except the Lord. As a result, you must become your greatest fan, your own pep squad leader. It will be your responsibility to encourage yourself, but you will have help. First, Deuteronomy 3:28. But charge Joshua and encourage him and strengthen him, for he shall go over before this people, and he shall cause them to inherit the land which thou shalt see. If allowed, God will strengthen, encourage, and motivate you and each of us to even greater levels of accomplishment. But in the final analysis, we must be responsible for our own encouragement.
That's true.
Second, 1 Samuel 30:6. 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, Classic Amplified Bible. David was greatly distressed, for the men spake of stoning him, because the souls of them were all bitterly grieved, each man for his sons and daughters. Here it comes. But David encouraged and strengthened himself in his God. How do you encourage and give yourself a spiritual pep talk? It's easy. Use the Word of God to motivate you from where you are to where God wants you to be.
Sometimes too, honey, you just need to have a bunch of those scriptures that you can just go and grab a hold of when you need it instead of having to look for them when you're down. Sixth, you got to roll up your sleeves and do whatever's necessary. Sir Winston Churchill, great man during World War II, the British said, sometimes it isn't enough to do what's required. You must do what is necessary. Excuse me. Sometimes when you're working for folks, they go, okay, this is your job requirements, but it might take a little bit more than the requirement to make it turn out. That, you know, I could even hear Sir Winston probably saying that bold statement. Some people wonder why they've never been promoted on a job. It's because they just do what's required. They don't take the extra step to put them above the crowd. If you want to succeed in life, you must do more than is required. Titus 3:14 in the Classic Amplified says, and let our own people really learn to apply themselves to good deeds, to be honest labor and honorable employment, so that they may be able to meet necessary demands whenever the occasion may require, and not be living idle and uncultivated and unfruitful lives. God wants us, every one of us, to be fruitful, to do more than's required.
Yes.
He wants us to go the extra mile.
Yes, he does.
It may be lonely, but the truth of the matter is it'll take you ahead of the crowd.
That's it. Seventh, living by faith in adversity will bring you an even greater reward. Hallelujah. When we show ourselves faithful, when we do not grow weary in well-doing, as it says in Galatians 6:9, when we endure the mess of life, then God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us. Galatians 6:9, Classic Amplified. And let us not lose heart and grow weary and faint in acting nobly and doing right. For in due time and in the appointed season, we shall reap if we do not loosen and relax our courage and faint. The New Living Translation says it this way, we shall reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. We need to always remember, when we're enduring the storms of life, that God will lift us up and set our inheritance before us. And he's always got his eye on us. Hallelujah.
Can anybody say hallelujah?
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
If you're blessed by the teaching and the ministry, go to haroldherring.com, click the button that says sow a seed, ask God what seed he'd have you sow. Do what he says, the soul will ever ask. And until tomorrow morning at 8:30 Eastern, God bless you. Happy trails.
At Keep Thinking Rich Thoughts.
We love you. We appreciate you. God bless you. Bye-bye.